There you go. Now I hope I deliver. Oh, I love this workshop. As a matter of fact, I was sharing with him that this is one of those things that I said I will never, ever, ever, ever write on or talk about. Oh, this is funny. But anyway, let me just tell you how you will know that this is a message for you or slash your best friend, and how you will know that you are a messy mom. First of all, is if you have to set up Christmas pictures and birthday pictures with a clean background, because everything else in the house has piles. Books, of course, but piles nonetheless. You might be a messy mom. You might be a messy mom if you cannot find anything in your home except when you do not need it. Hello? Hello? Even the couch. Oh, you leave things out in special spots so you can find it later on. And so do your children. Do you see a picture here? You might be a messy mom. You hide when people come to your front door. You might be a messy mom. It's not a socialization issue, really. Getting the family to clean your house no longer works because the children do not believe in Santa Claus. I might have messed that up. And they should, because he would help them to have not... Forget that. I bombed that one, didn't I? I just thought about it. There are kids in here. Oh, the first response you get when you get the vacuum cleaner out is, who's coming? Oh, you need a 1 month notice for your company to come and visit. 6 months for the in-laws. Oh, you'd rather meet at a coffee shop for business rather than your house. You keep that toaster and that microwave and that washing machine because it was your grandmother's. She gave it to you 20 years ago. Hello? Oh, you accidentally buy things that you already have, like a couch. You keep things just in case you need it someday. Hello? Woo! Are you messy? I think that there's something about homeschooling that I had to, like I said, this was not the topic I wanted to teach, because this was the thing that I am a messy mom. I confess it. Come and look at my car. The only reason it ever stays clean is because I've got a teenage son. There's a perk to that. Oh, goodness. But anyway, so how can we get past this messy stuff and tame those messes? Let me give you some quick tips. First of all, if you're homeschooling, get off on the right track. Plan your new school year. Many of you are looking at those plans right now. And this is that time of year that we always, I just always get mushy about planning the new school year. And it's because this is the month that I actually began homeschooling 14 years ago. And so April is the month that I go, ding, 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 it's time for a new planner, it's time for new books, woohoo, we get something fresh and new. And so this is that time of year that I just naturally do this. Now, we may not actually get started till the end of July on some things, but there's some things I'm like, oh, goodness, we got to have a breath of fresh air. Y'all like that? That's honest. That's just honest. So how do we plan a new school year? Well, the first thing is to seek God. Seek God. Search for Him. You know, He has so much that He wants to do in your home school. Just like we were talking in the last session on really hearing Him for the heart of homeschooling, He has a heart for homeschooling. He doesn't say, okay, I got you trapped. You now figure it out. It's all on you, baby. In fact, the great news I have to share with you is it doesn't matter what part of the journey. If you're just looking into homeschooling, God wants to come alongside of you and to teach you how to teach. He wants to prepare you, and He wants to help you so that you can be able to have the best homeschool ever. He has great plans in store for you. Hear His heartbeat. Oh, goodness, do you know His heart is literally fluttering for you and your homeschool. He's so excited because you know what? Jesus Christ died to give you what He's got planned for you in homeschooling. Do you know that? He wants you to have abundant life. He wants for this to be more than just another method of education. And we miss so much unless we start our school year seeking Him. I shared in the last session about that God gives us a scope and sequence, every mom and dad. Now, I'm going to step out on a limb, mainly because I've done this about 10 years now, and I've not found one mother yet that can prove me wrong on this. Not one father. Even the fathers that you think are not paying attention, mamas, they have not proved me wrong on this. This is a test. If y'all prove me wrong, I'll shut this point up. I will never tell it again. But do you know, think about your children. Do you know what that one child who's struggling, do you know what they need right now? What is it that God has put on your heart? Do you know it? Okay, scream really loud if you do not have any idea what your child needs. Anybody? Well, you know it. Hasn't it brought you to tears? Are you really right now saying, Cindy, I'm so scared, I don't know if I can help them. When will this pass? Tell me right now in two steps how I can fix this kid. What is it? Is it their behavior? You are about up to here. My mama used to say, I've had it. And when she would get that had it to it, you knew she had had it. You better straighten up and fly right. That's what she would say, too. Straighten up and fly right. You know, I'd get that straight from my mother's little southern mouth. And I knew at that point, if I didn't get it right, there was going to be some getting it right. Do you know what I mean? But I'm talking about, have you had it? Is it stressing you out? Do you know what? That is the thing that is the main thing for right now. And it may change in a month. And it may change in 6 months. Isn't that good news? It will probably change in a month. And it will or at the most, 6 months, a year, 2 years. Now, you may say, don't you do that to me. Woman, you were almost encouraging me with that month. The neat thing is, God has implanted a scope and sequence on your heart through the whole thing. Curriculum companies cannot hear God for you. They do not know your child. They're given a great little idea, and it changes, by the way. Do you know that you may say, oh, it's always been that you've got to have butterfly studies when they're in fourth grade. Trust me, one state may have that, another curriculum or another state may have something totally different. They're not together. There's not someone that went up on Mount Sinai and said, okay, Lord, write the thou shalt do this in the scope and sequence. Please help me, Lord. And then we have to ask, if they didn't go to Mount Sinai, how do they know? Have you ever thought of that? How do they know that in fourth grade they're ready for state history? What if they are so engulfed into world history that they cannot get out of pyramids? Well, you're a failure, of course. That's how you know you're going to mess them up. They're not going to recover. You messed up. Put them in a public school. Oh, goodness. You know what? I have good news for you. I haven't always liked what was on my heart. Not always. Because there's times it's been hard to swallow. Because the thing on my heart that I really knew they needed was the thing that I really did not want to deal with. I would have rather done anything than multiplication. And let me tell you, I'd rather still do anything than algebra. Hallelujah for videos. Woo! And husbands. And self-taught kids. Amen. Woo! But what I'm saying here is that if you will seek God, and you got to trust Him, trust Him, He will tell you what's needed for this year. Now, let's just think quick. You say, well, I got it for the one kid. It's kind of in my face. Think quick. Do you know it for the others, too? Do you really know it? That's another thing. I've never seen a mama and a daddy that did not deep down know. You know. So what's holding you back from that? Are your choices this weekend going to meet that need? Or are you covering it up with a bunch of stuff that they're not going to get anything out of anyway? So seek God. Plan out the school year by seeking Him and hearing Him and trusting Him. The next thing is planning out your year. here. This is on the right track still, planning out your school year. This is planning your year. One thing that I do every time this time of year, inevitably, some of you may, have y'all seen my Make Your Own Brain in a Binder? You know, the big binder out there, and you think, oh my goodness, does she carry that thing with her? Not all of it. Not all of it. I usually print off something I'm dealing with. Like right now, we're planning school year. So I have my mommy planner. And what I have done with that is I have said, okay, this helps me to set my goals. This helps me to plan what I want to buy. This helps me to plan out studies based on each of the months and da-da-da-da-da. It's like a mommy retreat. I wrote for mommies, but you know what? I use it myself. And it has other things anyway. But here, what I usually do this time of year is pull out that mommy planner and see if we're on target. What we're going to need to do coming up. There are things that are on my heart that are just my things. And you know what? It's kind of been funny. My children, they have so went beyond some of the things that typical children learn. The things that are on my heart for my children to get at this point are things that you really usually don't get till you're grown up. You know what I'm saying? That's just the things that are on our hearts. So listen to God. You want to know how to plan out your year? Well, first of all, plan out your purpose. Now, this does not mean you have to go buy my Make Your Own Mommy Brain in the Binder, blah, 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 Make Your Own Brain in a Binder to get this. I'm going to give you a cheat sheet right here. If you want to get some pretty pages, you can do that too. My husband thinks I'm just a terrible salesperson, so that's just for you. But anyway, first, let's plan out a year. Let's just say that we're going to sit down and we're going to plan it, and you're going to have to take notes because I'm not going to help you get all the way through it right now. We've got to go like an hour, isn't it? Is all I got to do this with you. And I would love to do it a whole week. But purpose. Why are you homeschooling? Why? You know, I want to get real personal with you. Why do you homeschool your children, period? I just want to know, what is it? You know, because some of the educators in the room, especially if we've got any spies, but some of the educators in the room would say, you can't really homeschool. You got a lot of crisis situations. You got interferences. You're just a mother. What makes you think you can homeschool? Why is it any different? Why can't your kids go and get a public school education or a private school education? Now, is that making y'all mad? Don't throw tomatoes yet. What I'm asking you is, this has to be something more than education. It has to be. What is it? Is it that God has put something on your heart, that there's something special that child needs? That child needs a certain education to be who they're supposed to be later? I happen to believe that. I think that's a cheating answer to give you that answer. Is it that there's some things that they cannot learn in a classroom that you are equipped to give them? Because I certainly believe that. But know why you homeschool. It's the only way you're going to stick it out. Because you know something? Some of the stuff is not going to match up. You're going to go through situations. It may be your mom and dad being ill, both back to back, and you having to take care of them. How does homeschooling match up? What kind of an education do you give them then academically? Or are you going to be distracted? I was sharing in the last session when I lost 7 babies back to back. Had to go through infertility treatments. I was so sick I could literally not lift my head. All I could do was love my babies, my children, my homeschool kids. You know what? They went so far beyond where they were during that time because God had me out of the way. Go figure. But that's a lesson in and of itself. But you know something? It had to be more than homeschooling for an excellent education and a rigorous education. It had to go beyond that. Into something deeper. So what is the purpose? What is the vision? Who are these little ones sitting before you? You know what? If you knew now what you're going to know later, it would scare you to death. Can I just tell you that? If I had known what my children were going to be like at this age, it would scare me to death. I mean, I was scared to death enough. But I'm telling you, I would have been totally terrified because I just thought, I've got to do all that. No. It's the purpose. It goes beyond academics. So what's your vision? Second is, what is your goals? How are you going to step by step get there? At what point are your goals? How are you going to get there? Okay, we know we want them to be very well educated, but how do we get there? This child cannot stand math. They are really not getting reading, Cindy. This is where you got to have a goal. You know, and go back to Scripture and just know that Jesus says, and it says in the Bible, that it's all precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, trust me, a little. There a little. And it's not all in one day. This is like the farmer planting a seed. And it's going to take a lot of watering, a lot of nurturing, time to grow. And in its season, it will bear fruit. But the fruit does not come in a day. You said, I can get that, but by next week I want some fruit. We're talking about the long-range goals. Where do you want to be? How can you get to this vision that you're going to be at later on? Can you get there? What are those steps? Are they measurable? Set your goals. Next, and quick and easy, how to plan out that year is prune. You know, there's probably been some things that have snuck in this year. Or there's some things that are not working right now. Prune. What do I mean? Pruning activities. You know, it never fails. By this time of the year, I am so glad to get back to April. Why? Because my children play ball from November until March. They'd be playing this weekend a tournament if I were at home. Isn't that good? I am not going to sit on that bleacher today. Y'all are saying, you're making us sit all this time and you are escaping sitting on a bleacher? They planned it wrong. Oh, shucks. But you know what? We have been so balled out. We have went to ball games till I am so tired of them. I have done everything, you know, ball games till I am just really, quite frankly, thankful for the summer. Those things, they bring a lot of extra going and eating out, and they're just little things. What is it that maybe right now has been hindering and frustrating you this last few weeks? Maybe it's curriculum. You ever had something you could just throw it under the bed? It's an organizational tip. Now you're worried. Serious. That thing. Those books. You know what is interesting? Is all the major cults. And that's people that are not serving God. Do you know that they have always, always been characterized by sacrificing the children on their high places? Did you know that? Go back and study ancient Egypt. Go back and study all these past civilizations. Study them. They burn up the children as a sacrifice to their gods. All of them. They will burn them out. Burn them up. Likewise, I think that there is a point where we have to really realize that sometimes our curriculum and our homeschooling can become a god. And the way that we know that is when we start sensing that burnout, that frustration from our children. What should we do? I say burn that curriculum. We're not going to have a witch party. But I'm talking about put it away. Don't sacrifice the children. And I tell you, even the good old paths can get to be a god. I just want to tell you about mine. I love narration. I think that it's one of the best ways to train our children up so they can become original writers with excellent writing. I am so sold out on narration. We have a funny story with it, though. With my little girl, my husband had worked in law enforcement for 15 years, and he would literally, we would wrap our life around him, but the one thing that we did to include him in homeschooling was that when Daddy would come home, they would go and they would run and say, Daddy, guess what happened to Daniel Boone today? And they would tell him, I'm talking about almost verbatim, everything that I had ever told them, read to them in the books that day. And Harold just became addicted to that, and he would come in from work and he'd say, okay, tell me, what happened next? And they would just tell him verbatim. Well, one day, we were reading a book, and I thought, you know what, I'd love for him to know just how close there's something to hear it verbatim, you know, said in a narration, but to know how close it is, he just didn't know how smart they were. So we were reading aloud, and he was with us, and I was reading from The Hedge of Thorns. And it's a Lamplighter book. I love that book. The story is just phenomenal. So we were reading from it, and we're riding in the car, and we finished a chapter, and I said, Elizabeth, why don't you narrate for Daddy? And she said, he was just listening. I said, no, honey, show him how you narrate. Tell us back what we just studied. And she said, didn't he pay attention? And I said, don't get smart with me, little lady. Show him how you narrate. And I was just fixing to choke that child. Put me out of my misery. So here she's going, Mama, he just heard the story. Does he not know it? I was like, ugh. The good thing was God said, it might be time that you might want to hush. Does God ever tell y'all things like that? He tells me it might be time for you to be quiet. Of course, I had written Language Arts These Away, and I knew it worked because we'd been doing it. And I was thinking, though, I wrote Language Arts These Away, and I can't even get this kid in there right in front of her daddy. Talk about pride. Talk about loving my ideas. Loving my approaches. You know what? God taught me a lesson, and it wasn't that day. He had told me to be quiet because he knew I was about to get myself in big trouble. You know, and if I had done what I fleshly wanted to do to that child, it would have been sad. Because the next couple weeks, we were out, and get this, this is so funny. This is so funny. We were out, the guys were metal detecting. See, that's another thing. Harold says that you can teach anything about history through metal detecting. Our philosophies of education get kind of crazy. You have to watch us. But he seriously said, if you want to get gold and things like that, you've got to know history and you've got to know where it happened and you've got to know how to dig. So this is one of his things and I just crack up over him. They were metal detecting, Harold and Matthew were, and Elizabeth came running up. We were at the park and she came running up and she said, what are you doing? And I said, well, honey, I'm sitting here. I'm working on time for tea. And she said, I know what I want to do. Can I narrate from Hedge of Thorns? Now, did y'all just get that? I was thinking, heavens, no. You wouldn't narrate for your daddy the other day, so what makes me think you're going to narrate right now? No, we don't do it that way. You know what happened? She narrated, and it was actually a holy moment. She gave me this narration, and what we would do with it, what we still do with our, well, they write themselves now, but what we would do is I would sit down and they would start telling me what they wanted on their narration because their brains think so much faster than being able to actually write during that transition. And she was not yet ready to write on her own because she would write little itty bitty choppy things. If she were just, I mean, because her brain was thinking 90 miles an hour and her fingers were able to spell and concentrate about 2 miles an hour. And so I was sitting there and she began to tell me her little narration. And she said, read that back to me. Cause she was used to, they would say, you know, when they get to a point where I would say, okay, hold on, keep that thought. And I would write it on down and it trained them to learn how to keep their thoughts, which is part of the process of writing. So here I am writing this down and she said, read that back to me. And so I read it back and she said, oh, Mama! Mine sounds like I wrote the book. She said, I could be a writer. Ding, ding, ding. Holy moment. Alert. Because you see, there's got to be somewhere that they think, you know what? I got these words and I can put them together and I can say the story. I can say what this was all about. I can communicate this. I like the way I wrote it better than the way they wrote it. You probably read about Benjamin Franklin, how he trained himself to be such an incredible writer. He would literally copy magazine articles. And this was back when they had the words, you know, like Boone Companion. You know what I'm saying? Some of you, y'all get that. Those of you that have been skipping my sessions. Oh, get the tape. Anyway, there are all these neat, 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 neat words. So anyway, I was trying to keep that train of thought. Duh. Benjamin Franklin realized, he actually later moved to reading a passage and he would literally rewrite it from memory and putting it in his own words. And he's documented in some of his writings how that at times he thought that his things were better than the original article. Well, this is what we're talking about with narration. She got it. She had to get to a point where she thought, my writing says it on this. Because that's one of the things that you've got to have for writing. You don't get that at 5 or in 3rd grade. It comes with a process of learning. So anyway, you know what's interesting? That right there was a moment for her. If I had said, no, I demand that you narrate right this minute, there's no telling what would have happened. You know, she, a week later, 2 weeks later, it's all of a sudden the timing that God used this one passage to be the one that convinced her she could write. And I almost missed it if it hadn't been for God saying, be quiet, woman. So maybe we need to prune back some of the stuff that is keeping us from getting to those goals. Maybe we need to look at the year. You know, I've noticed that no 2 years have been the same. I couldn't keep the same plans year after year after year. They all had to be individual, totally unique years. Anything from when my husband retired a couple years ago to the time when we first moved from Mississippi to Alabama for him to have his dream job 10 years ago, or 12 years ago. Time's going by fast. To the year that we literally had to stay on the road back and forth because of Harold's dad having heart attacks and all the family thinking they could die off that year. To the years that I was miscarrying babies for a period of years, on and off, on and off. No two things are the same. So look at your year right now. What is going to be, what needs to be considered? Is it your husband's schedule? Is it the events that are going on? Is it a new baby? Is it vacations that are coming up? For us right now, we are so excited. Our travel schedule this year is perfect for homeschooling. It is so perfect because everything we want to study, we're getting a review because I'm planning the studies right before that. We're getting a review, getting to go to those areas. Is that not too good? God is cute like that. He can give us so much if we will plan around that. So in planning your year, look at what's coming up. Look at the demands, the interruptions, the crisis situations, and plan to use them. Use them. Maybe you've got a new baby. Maybe this just needs to be a year where things are a little more simple. There's nothing like a pregnancy and a new baby to have to be simple. You know what? You may say, I feel like a mess here. I feel like we need to be more serious about our education. I'm feeling like a failure. I feel like it's all falling apart. You know what? This is the very perfect, most perfect situation in this training for this child at that time. How can you use it? Because it's supposed to be here. It's supposed to be part of the plan. It may not be your plan, but many are the plans in a mama's heart. It's God's will. God's will that must prevail. Next is create checkpoints in your plan. Give yourself a time regularly throughout the year. And I'm not saying that so much has to be accomplished, but I'm saying set up checkpoints. Maybe it's a regular time. This time of the year, we look at last year, and then we look ahead. And in a couple of months, we're going to see where we're at. I'm going to have a back-to-school time in August when everybody else is going back to school, and I'm going to see what we got done on the summer. Maybe it's at Christmas. We're going to take another period of time to just sit back and do a mama time and look at where we've been then. Do you see? Create regular checkpoints and then look at it. I'm going to tell you, you're going to love this. If you will record your fears, your frustrations, the things that they're needing, you're going to start seeing something happening, and it's going to reassure you. Because you see, God Himself is going to show Himself faithful to you. Because all those things that you're dealing with today are going to be different next month. They're going to be different in 6 months. And you're going to see that, you know what, if we made it through that, as raw as that was, we're going to be okay here. Give me a perspective, God. This is a time and checkpoints to get His vision and to see what He's doing and how He's providing and working in your life. You got to have that. You know, if you keep on blowing and going, you may think, oh, goodness, I have not even seen anything getting accomplished because you're in that miriness. Set apart that time to pull back. Run you some bubble bath. Read that old journal and see what you've done. You know, my first year homeschooling, I didn't keep records because I didn't have to. I lived in Mississippi. They didn't make you. You kind of have to make me do things. Make me. But anyway, at the end of that year, I learned that even though I didn't have to keep records, I learned to keep records. Because you know what happened at the end of the year? By that point, I was tired. And I was frustrated. I didn't meet all the goals that in my head I had. But I couldn't see, because the records were not in print at that point, what I had done. It took listening to the children where they would tell people everything that they had been learning. It took looking at the timeline on the wall to be able to see that we really had accomplished more than I thought. And so Get some checkpoints where you can get a fresh vision. And you know what? Also, if you haven't got much done by that point, say, okay, God, tomorrow's a new day. We get back on the track and we're going to just maybe go back to that multiplication and let's see how it goes. Maybe try a fresh perspective. If multiplication's still tough, maybe play some games. You know what? That is the very thing that took my daughter over to the edge and she just got multiplication, was playing games. But it took saying, let's do something different. This has not been working this way. So create checkpoints and then stay on track. Remember that this is a journey. And when you're planning this school year, it is so tempting to want to do lots of great things. Are any of you like that? Or is it just me? I want to do lots of wonderful things. And by next year, they should graduate. Well, actually, Matthew graduates in June, but it's not because they are going to be, you know what I mean? It's because he's got to. He has been ready. So anyway, but look at this and realize this is a journey. It doesn't all happen in a day. You know what? I look back and I don't think I want it in a day. It's a joy. It's a treasure looking back and seeing how it really was. Watching it. Seeing their successes. What a gift. That's just something that you just don't get just anywhere, is that success. Do you know what it's like to see them actually succeed at reading? Yes. They get it. There's nothing like it. Take any earthly treasure from me. Or don't give me any earthly treasure. The treasures of homeschooling are priceless. Next thing is de-stressing the stressed out mom. De-stressing the stressed out mom. Now, dads may be stressed out too. How do we do this? Guys, please don't elbow your wives at this part of this message. Glue them to your side. How do we take care of the stressed out mom? First, I want to tell you before I go into these points that, do you know the studies show that if you're stressed out, your children shut down? Have you ever seen it? The last thing you need when you're stressed out is those children not to get it. Am I telling you the truth? But you know what? They're not. They're not going to get it. So how do you de-stress? Put yourself, number one, in time out. Oh. Let your husband come home from work and send you to your room. And don't you come out to that attitude is right. Oh, Lordy, I wouldn't come out for a week. I'm just kidding. Put yourself in time out. No, seriously, you do need time out. For those of you that are here tonight, I want to tell you how I love to do a conference. I love to do a conference of going back to my room and just getting a good bubble bath and just soaking and praying it out. You know what? We get so tired and weary. Have you taken care of yourself lately? What have you done? You say, she's getting into some feminist talk. I've got to make sure it doesn't go feminist. Hey, it's not going to go feminist. I homeschool. What kind of homeschool mother? What kind of homeschool mother are we? You know, there's something I was reading just this week. It was such a great analogy. It was about a lighthouse keeper. A guy that his lighthouse was in a very dangerous, dangerous place. And many, many, many of the ships and boats, they depended on his light to be able to keep them safe in the storms. And they depended on him to be able to give that glimmer of light that could keep them on course. But you see, he had a habit. He had a habit. And what he would do is if Mrs. Smith would come to the lighthouse and she needed a little oil just for tonight, he would give her a little bit of oil. And it's just a pleasure to him. He loved blessing Mrs. Jones. And then if Mr. Clark would come over and he needed it maybe for camping, he would give that little bit to him. One day, his reserves were a little too low and he wasn't prepared. And there was a storm that hit and many, many that had depended upon his light could not depend on it anymore. Have you ever been there? I want to tell you, the one thing that I told God I would never tell people, obviously. See, tell everything. But I remember going through depression as a homeschool mother. Now, there are some of you that you know what I'm saying when I say this. You don't say you're depressed if you're a homeschool mother. For one thing, you got too many people looking at you. And I'm going to tell you that I remember thinking, God, I can't tell anybody. I can't. because they won't understand. And as a matter of fact, I heard a few things going on around that time where people would say, well, you know, maybe you're losing them babies because you're not right with God. My, that would never have appeared to me to see if I should repent. I repented until I couldn't have repented anymore. And then I realized, oh yeah, I'm Baptist. I believe in eternal salvation. Hello. Now, we're not going to go talking about doctrines here, but I want you to know that I know that Jesus' blood is all it takes. If it hadn't have been, I was sunk. You know what? I was depressed and couldn't get out of it. It was like literally when I went to my doctor, I said, I got to have some help. What do I do? And it was kind of funny. I'll tell you what he said in a minute. I said, it's like I'm at the bottom. I haven't ever been there, but like I was at the bottom of the Grand Canyon and I don't know how to get back up. He said, how would you rate this? Like 1 to 10? I said, 15? 100? He said, well, Cindy, you know what? There's no wonder, honey. He said, you know, I've watched you lose these babies and you keep on going and you keep on going. Are you taking care of yourself? No, I was giving my all everywhere else. And you know what? When push came to shove, I was out. The good news is, guess what? There is a overrunning supply of that oil straight from the Father. And you know, the thing he told me was, Cindy, this is literally something that if you're willing to not go back where you are, I can get you out of this. But you're going to have to be willing to not go where you are. Because you see, I know how I got there. Do you know how you get where you're in bad places? It was a bad place because you see, it wasn't that I wasn't working for the Lord, because I sure was. It wasn't that I wasn't hearing Him. I want to tell you, I listened back over some of the audios God actually had to teach for me for that period of time, because I didn't have it in me. And He did more work. And He grew this ministry during that time because I didn't have anything to offer. I learned a life lesson. I don't even have anything to offer today. Is that not funny? I just tell you how dumb I am, and y'all like it. I kind of think that's a pretty good approach. Because, you know, I don't think I can handle one more perfect homeschool mother. Now, I'm not saying I don't like some of y'all, but you know, I just don't think there is one. Something's hiding. And, you know, it's funny. I was at a little mommy meeting back in the fall. We were on a big trip, and I was doing some conferences, and this one little group said, could we treat you to supper, just us? So I went over, and you know what? Five of the five were battling with depression. They were battling with feeling like they were under so much pressure that they had to be perfect. They had to do everything right, that they were going to mess up. There was a push. You know what I think it is? It's because, yes, we care about so much. But deep down, I believe we need to de-stress. We don't need to get to that edge. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen. You get close to that edge, and it's hard to get back off out of that canyon. It is so hard. Walking that out, here's some things that God told me. He said, Cindy, put yourself in time out regularly. Retreat. You may think that a quiet time is a luxury. It is an essential. I kind of laughed at that time. My son told me, he said, Mama, it was one of those days that the phone rang, I think before the alarm clock went off, and I'd had one of those mornings, and I was so irritable, and then he'd tell me, he said, Mama, I'll help Elizabeth with phonics. Why don't you go have a quiet time? Now, if my husband had said that, my husband would have been dead. Those would have been fighting words. But that son, this little prophet stuff in him, I was so convicted. You know? That they want us all there. He banks on Mama being silly. He banks on Mama being funny. He banks on Mama being able to laugh rather than pull his hair out. Do you know what I'm saying? Hello? He'll do anything to help me. But I have to remember to do that because my oil run out. I don't have it in me. I have to do that. And guess what? I think you do too. Number two is attack stress. That's not your husband. Find your stressors. What stresses you? Because you see, what gets me and knocks me off my rocker might not even bother you. You may not even have an option to even go there because it may not even be an element in your life you would have to deal with. What is your stressor? Attack it. What stalls your flight? What sends you over the edge? Do you know it? Because you see, I had to figure out really quick if I wanted God to be able to do His work. See, He can do a miracle, but in my situation, the illness of major depression did not get healed by word. It didn't get healed by a little mud on my eyes like the little blind guy got. It literally required me walking it out. He said, "Are you wanting out of this, girl? Because you got to walk it out. Walk it out." And He said, "If you don't want to go back where you were, you got to figure out how you got there." Because you see, I love God. I loved Him. He is my life. From the time I met Him as my personal Lord and Savior at 8 years old, He's been my man. And I'm addicted to Him. He just absolutely fires me up and turns me on. I love Him. But you know something? He could do nothing with me without me saying, "I've had enough. I'll do what you say." And one of the things He said was, "Cindy, what's going on here? What is it that sends you over the edge? It's not the children not getting math. There's something else going on." I have a friend that called me the other day. She blew it. She's so funny. She's the most godly woman I know. That's how homeschool mamas are. See, I sit there and tell you that you aren't perfect, and then I say, "Y'all are the most godly people I know." That's scary, but I know. But she called me and she said, "I blew it. I really love these kids, but I just don't know if I can keep homeschooling. I just blew it. I screamed at him. And she told me the story. I said, "What's going on?" And she said, "I can't put up with this anymore. This teenage stuff. You know, no, honey, that's not it. Let's go back a little bit more. What's really going on?" She and her husband are having such a struggle financially. They are literally bugged inside out by creditors right now. They're about to take their house. They're literally saying, "God, could you please come through?" They're tithers. These are tithing people. They love God. And yet, their thing, it is literally put them right on the edge to where she just cannot take it anymore. Any little thing is getting her. What is it with you? And I'm not saying it's debt. What is it? For me, I really got to a point where I could not keep taking all the stuff hitting me. I was not resting. You see, I'm the kind of person, I am literally up all night. Don't say anything, woman. You are too. I like being up. I get my best things done between 10 and 2. Guess why? The house is done and the kids are in bed. The husband's okay. But you know something? I'm also bad. My son caught me in this around the same time that I was dealing with the depression. He said, "Mama, I just went to bed. I was up and I got up to go to the bathroom and you were up. And then I just got up to go running before I went to work with Daddy. And you're still up. What's up?" Me? Thought that was funny. I get delirious at this time of day. At night. Do you know something? God said, "Cindy Rushton, you better do this. You better go to bed. Go to bed with your husband. When he starts dozing off, woman, you go to bed with that man now." I just like it when he stays up a little later. He's got something he's watching on TV. And you've seen those days. Then also another thing was I wasn't taking care of my health. You know, there's something godly. I mean, you know, we should just eat right, right? If we eat right, that should pull the weight off. We shouldn't be fat. We can eat right a lot of whole wheat bread, too. And let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm a living example. You know what God put on my heart? "Cindy, if you want to not go back there," see, one of the things that triggers they found that I had lupus, and the lupus was what was causing the baby losses. It was also triggering depression, because that was one of the ways it hit my system, was making me very sick. If I want to live with this, and I want to be able to be all that God wants me to be, I cannot go around not eating well. The caffeine, Lord has been so good. I got out of bondage through His precious power this year from caffeine. I couldn't have lived without it last year. And He did a miracle. One day, this is it. I said, "That's it. I can't do this anymore." I feel that little tremor of that going back where I was going. Did you know what I'm saying? The stress was mounting. I was ready to take some kids out, my husband with them. I said, "Ooh, I feel this is a little raw. This is not where I'm going to go." got rid of it. I said, God, obviously, you were right. It's got to go. So I started exercising. Christy has literally been one of my accountability partners, and we're about to start I got to figure out the name of it, but we're going to start a part of my forum just for losing weight and getting in shape. I haven't figured out how do you say all that. You know what I'm saying? Something cute, but anyway. But this year, one of the things God put on my heart, just this year, see, I'm still pulling out of and still battling the ramifications of that period way back that got me so sick. But you know what? The only way to stay out of that is to keep on watching out. What is it that gets me? Stress always gets me. Stress. I cannot deal with it. If there's a lot of push, 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 and I handle a lot of stuff well, but it's the stuff that stresses me that I have to guard. So know what is your thing. Look at it honestly and find a way to de-stress that. If it's something that you can eliminate, if it's caffeine, if it's not getting enough sleep, you can take care of that. You cannot kill the kids. Please, I don't want to answer one more question on why people are killing their homeschool kids. That was a bad joke, wasn't it? Stick to your priorities is the next thing on de-stressing. You know what? We can't do it all. You know, every time that I'm faced with something that is an opportunity, I have to say, is this thing, am I willing to drop something else to do this thing? Inevitably, I'm going to have to anyway. But I'm going to usually drop the thing that's most important. It's easy to say, well, honey, we'll do a fun project later. And never get around to it. And it's all because of stuff that doesn't really matter. And we blink and the kids are graduating and they're older and they're gone. There's not going to be time for it then. So stick to the priorities. Watch your thoughts. Thoughts are poison. I'm going to tell you, you have to guard them. They will poison your system. One of the things that stresses me out is negative people. I'm telling you, I get some of it. I get it. Oh, if you're wanting to be negative with me, make me a note and give it to my husband. But I can't take it. I just cannot take it. I don't want it. Give it to somebody else who really would care. I don't want that because what it does to me, I take it so deep into me. I've had to learn to say, no. You don't have all the facts. Squelch. That's not going to happen. That's not going in. I have to watch people that are negative on my role as a mom when I was younger. People that would tell me, oh, you're going to mess them up. Well, that's just all I needed to hear. Thank you very much. I already have that fear. Why don't you just say it about 5 more times? Speak it into existence. Help me out a little bit. But I have to get rid of negative people. I cannot take it. I have had people that literally loved the positive and laughing. They loved being around me so I could encourage them. But they were literally zapping me for everything I had for my own family. And God said, get it out of there. You know what? That person you thought was your best buddy ain't your best buddy. They're out for themselves. They're not for you. Now, that doesn't mean I have got some friends I've been friends with, bless their darling hearts, for like decades now. We say that we're into millennium because this is a new millennium. Isn't that cute? But Ray Perry and I, we go back so far back. We've been buddies forever. Forever. She loves me. She has seen everything in me. She walked it. She knew. She knows stuff I wouldn't probably even tell from a pulpit. Yeah, maybe. I probably have all day, haven't I? Well, okay, maybe y'all know it too. You know what? She's literally walked it with me. But you know what? She's the most positive human being I know. I have to gravitate towards those kind of people that you go to them and you come home and you're going, woo, I have been in the presence of God. And there's nothing wrong with ministering to those that aren't there because they can actually change. But what I'm saying is that friendship, I need that or I stress out. Keeping everything simple and planning in fun and taking time for yourself. Those are great things I've found. If I can do those things, I can take care of the stress and I can stay away from those pits that can literally crush me. So next thing is slowing down. Now I say slowing down from a fast pace. Have you noticed our culture? You've driven around here, haven't you? They drive fast. You can't even get out of Walmart without almost having a wreck. You know what I mean? But I've noticed that this is the way it is everywhere. I'm talking about people, you know what my pet peeve is? I haven't put this on my board, I should put this out there. The person that feels like they have to pass me, and they get in the lane I'm trying to get in. What if they just slow down? I told my son, I said, honey, as a teenage driver, one of the most important things you can learn to be on the road is do not do that. But serious, people are so fast-paced. We're so spoiled. We have instant cameras. I remember when those came out, my mother was like, so the devil is going to lead to the mark of the beast. Oh, now we go digital. And we email it to our parents. And they go, woohoo! Senior pictures are digital. Hello, they have painted Matthew's pimples. If I could have had that, hello, woo! He said, as long as they don't make me look like I have had that Botox. He's seen people with like the Mickey Mouse eyebrows. And he said, don't let them do that to my eyebrows. I thought about just getting some paint and, you know, the paint thing on the computer and just doing it for fun. But I won't mess with them that bad. But slow down. You know, it's great that we have all these conveniences. But, you know, where we have those, let those save you time so that the most important things are being done in your home. What am I talking about? Well, you know what? It's going to take you time of nurturing your young rider step by step, precept upon precept. Use that crock pot. Use that crock pot. And then sit down and listen to that little baby read. They're going to get it, and you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. I'm praying for grandchildren. I said, God, give me lots of them. I'm talking about, I think that if I'm going to lose seven, shouldn't it be 70 times seven? There's only two kids, but that's 25 apiece. I can do it. They listen to that stuff and they go, she's going to have to adjust. Well, I'm just asking one at a time or three at a time, whatever. But you know what? When it comes to our children and homeschooling them, we can use the fast stuff, but don't get in fast mode for learning. Slow down. Enjoy it. You know, this is only going to be here for just a little while. And I say that saying, oh my, June 4th will change my life. And I can't tell you that I know he's not homeschooling today because he's finished. But there's something I'm going to be so bad off. I probably have to put on my makeup 20 times that day. I may as well wear a bag over my head because it's going to kill me. Slow down. You know what? I'm glad to know that we've done the things we did that were so much fun. And looking back, you know what I would change? For those days I lost it. If I'd have just known they'd get it. But slow down. Know they're going to get it. Next is develop a doable schedule. A doable schedule. Now, how do you do this? Well, the first thing, I remember me struggling. Now, I don't know if you're like this, but I have a child that she is highly sensitive to sensory things. You know, like a bird outside. If I could stop them all from flying, we would have had no problems with phonics. But the birds outside. Ooh, I'm not even close, am I? 3 minutes, y'all, or y'all don't get to eat. The bird outside. We're going to just trust God that he's going to teach you what you need to know, okay? And I'll make it quick through the rest of it, really quick. But this is so important. Just knowing that, Elizabeth, if Harold was home back then, I lost her. She wouldn't listen to me. It was like she wanted to just see, is Daddy okay? Can I go help him? I think he needs water. He's okay, baby. If he's thirsty, he can come back and say, no, Mama, I think he needs some water. We just made lemonade. Why don't I take him some lemonade? And I didn't have her. You know what I figured out? If we wrapped around our schedule around Harold, I could homeschool so much easier. And when I figured that out, and I realized that also the phone was annoying to me. If you call me now, you will always, I mean, call this a horrible business decision. I've read all the books on business with my son. This is bad. My husband does not do business this way with his business. But if you call Russian Family Ministries, you're going to get an order line. Why? Because I homeschool. Hello? We homeschool. I cannot answer the phone because I found that I was talking all day long on a phone. And I call it losing business. I can't. I just can't do it. It would happen all the time. It's not just that one call once a year that my mommy might have, and I love y'all so much. It's just that they happen to the thousands. And when you do thousands of calls a year, you don't homeschool your kids. And I just think that's not really right to be teaching what I don't do. So, business-wise, I'm dumb. But you know something? I realize that if I could turn that phone off and give them my undivided attention, that my children would not resent this ministry. They would be part of it. And if I could balance my day to where they did their skills before Daddy woke up, they spent time with Daddy once he was up, and then we read right before bedtime and do things that work for us, then it all worked together. So as you're looking at this new year, set up a schedule that's doable. Look at who you are and how you can get things done. I have a lot more information. There's times I have been able to spend more time on this than some of the other teachings I have. Ask me about that at my booth. But anyway, do a doable schedule. Don't overload. Don't spend all day just homeschooling. Do short lessons that can be done, and you can move on to things that are what we call real learning. You know, they can do their skill work, but they loved having just time to dig into things they were interested in. And you know what's funny? I think they learn more then. Next thing is clean up. Well, this is a fast way to clean up, obviously. what we have done is we have tried to have two times a year that we do a major clean out. I'm sorry. Time's over. Are y'all wanting to eat? Okay, y'all can leave if you need to leave and go eat. Do y'all want me to finish? Yes, no. Y'all going to rate me bad on that evaluation? Fill it out before I go over. That way, is that okay? Okay. I'm going to do this, and y'all can listen as you're leaving or to ask a friend to take notes. There you go. Okay, I'm going to do this quick. Clean up. One of the things I realized is if I got my house clean before my school year started or during those times that I'm kind of breaking, doing some evaluating, right before the grandparents come to visit, if I could get that done, then the kids could just do minimal chores, and we could do light cleaning, and we could maintain the house. Now, by the time it's time for clean out, we have to clean out, and we have to really scrub and, you know, get everything cleaned out. But that's what helped me. Know that you can find a system that's perfect for you. There's a lot of great things out there. I love Fly Lady. Now, some people complain about Fly Lady and say, oh, she makes you put your shoes on. Well, she's just trying to get it to where you won't have an excuse not to throw that junk away. Because you know what? You can't clean clutter. And there's nothing like a homeschool to bring in clutter, papers, stuff. So constantly know that clutter doesn't work and constantly look at a place to put things. That's one reason I love notebooking. It's because all those papers can find a home or they can be thrown away. I don't worry about it. If they don't have a notebook that they go in, then we just can easily say, oh, well, and throw it away. Now, I say that, and I have a harder time with that than the kids do. But find the right storage containers for you. Use that and making sure also, one thing that I have found is if I set up my home to where my children have access and they know this shelf has all of the cardstock on this shelf, and they have it within reach, they're more than likely only going to get that page that they need. But when I had put it up too high years ago, they would pull out this big stack, and then there'd be the leftovers from that right there on the table. It was awful. So when I figured out that if it was accessible, they would write more, and that it would be cleaned up easier, that helped me. Find what will work for you, and make your home work for you. Another thing is, make your home teach. One thing that helped me more than anything was this concept, setting up learning areas in the home. You know, one of the things that I love about homeschooling is that it gets us back to the way things were really supposed to be. You know, if you read old books from 100 years ago, almost all of them talk about their thousands and thousands and thousands of books that they had in their library because they had a family library. It was like a legacy that they would pass down. But think about this. They had a family library. They had in their homes family rooms. Do you see it? Find a way to set up learning areas. For us, one of the things we love the most, when we got rid of our little desk, now I'm not saying desk, you've got to go here, but when we got rid of that desk, actually I put a bunny in it, a cute little stuffed bunny for a while, because that was the only thing I could get to sit in that chair. When I got rid of that and realized that Matthew just liked being at the dinner table in the kitchen with me, to where he could talk to me. He's very auditory and he needed that time to talk to me. When I realized he could do his lessons better at the dining table, we switched. And he was fine. He wouldn't dawdle on his lessons, and he wouldn't, I don't know where his mind was, unless he was just wanting to be close to me at that time. He's grown up. He eventually will move out, or we're going to kick all his toys out, like the eagle does. Have y'all heard that? The eagles literally start throwing their baby's toys out when they need to go and fly and get a mate. We're going to be picky about that because I want grandchildren. But as for now, you know what? We realized that if we could cuddle up on a couch and read a book, we could really learn more than having this stiff, formal setting. It was not my personality. Now, you may say, Cindy, I can't get anything done any other way. Set the learning areas up for your home and your children. You won't regret it. Another thing is simplify lessons. Make learning real. Plan your whole life to learn. Don't just set aside school hours. And also, don't let school work be the only thing you do in a day. If it is, you're going to burn out. Have any of you got sick and tired of doing schoolwork all day, every day? And you love Saturday. Well, you know what? There's an answer to that. Find how you can simplify lessons. You know, you don't have to do all those different subjects. Your children can learn how to write by doing their history copy work. It can be simplified. So simplify your lessons. Shorten your lessons. You know, one of the things also that I've done that has helped me more than anything is to not do busy stuff, just the busy work. There's a lot of curriculum that all it has is busy work. Do you remember what they did with that in school? Well, you may say homework. No, no, no. Think back. Really think back. In school, they did stuff on the board to show how the process was done. And then many of the times, they would do odd or even for homework. But then many of the equations, many of the things would even be done on the board by each child. Nobody did all of that. It was a whole classroom of people working on that. So look at what your children need and be careful with those busy, just the busy work. They don't have to do that. It's for repetition because the schools are not getting in that concentrated teaching time that we can get being one-on-one tutorial with our children. And teach the skills per child, but then do the rest as a family. Be a family. In fact, you don't even have to teach all the other stuff formally necessarily. I was sharing in the last session that one of the neat things is when their interests start to take over. What happens with the children that I've noticed is Matthew was really interested in history. He loved everything history. But he would sit and he would just talk and talk and talk about history. You know, the studies show that if we hear things, we remember 5% of what we hear. We remember 10% of what we see, and a whopping 95% of what we teach. If there's a way that we can have them teach what they are learning, then you know what? They've got it. It's 95%. As much as Matthew talks about the history, it should be 200% if you could have that. But as much as we listen to him as a family, we get history, and I don't have to plan the lessons. Now, I do plan some lessons, but I'm telling you that the best stuff has always come from him because he loves it. He's so happy and excited about it. Human body, Elizabeth is the same way. She just spills over about what she's interested in. She's always loved art and music. You know what? She was our best resource on all of that information. And when they got older, after we had introduced them to lots of things and they started finding their bents and their interests, and we were just a family, I didn't have to do it all myself. Another thing is to develop, now this is where I'm going really quick, moving on to easy meals. Develop an easy plan for easy meals. You know, when I first started homeschooling, I was so excited. All my friends, they cooked homemade, and I came home from my career, and I could make homemade bread. That's why, you know, I thought that was just the epitome of a homeschool mother, and that's why I joke about that all the time. Between that and blue jean dress jumpers, I hadn't given that enough time today, have I? Between that, I was the epitome of it. Gotcha. Oh, and we had a joke. You could always tell homeschool mothers in our area because we used to all carry around little baskets. I'm serious. They were baskets. Baskets. And they would be filled with our little books and our little doilies draped over it. I swear to you. People would say, if somebody had a basket, they'd say, she's a homeschooler. And it was just the thing in North Alabama that they thought, you were a homeschooler. You have a basket. It didn't matter if they were really selling Longaberger or not. They thought they were homeschoolers. But you know what I realized early on was I had to simplify meals because there were days I was getting off track and not being able to teach my children because of all the time I had in the kitchen. So there were some things we did. We simplified this week's article. I think may even have some of these ideas on my e-zine. If you're not on my e-zine, let me know. Sign up on my sheet, and when we add you to the database, we'll send you a whole link to some surprise goodies. And some of these easy meal ideas are going to be on that. Is that bribery or what? We promise to never spam you. We would never share you, trust me, with anybody else. You are all ours. And we won't send you ugly pornography either. Okay. And so, anyway, easy meals, we found that if I had basically some things I kept that I knew, we always have to buy the nacho things. Because you know what? With nachos, the chips, and with some of that cheese dip and a little bit of ground beef and some Rotel, we've got a meal, and I can actually get that out of the microwave in about 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it takes to melt that cheese. But you know what? I have that. And so getting my basic things that are like those no-brainer things, if we're, you know, rather than having to take away time from my family, and I don't mind taking away time because I use a lot of the time cooking to train Elizabeth, but this is also stuff that she can do. And she's learning how to manage her home early, way earlier than I could have ever learned. But easy crock pot meals. You know, we can take a roast, put it in a crock pot, with a bottle of barbecue sauce, and we have got barbecue beef in just a few hours. I can do that in the morning. By the end of the evening, we are literally having a drop-dead awesome meal. That easy. Just find some things that are that easy for you so you can manage your home and just simplify those meals. Another thing is quick tips for easy record keeping. Know that there is no perfect way. Do y'all get bothered by the record keeping? There's some things that I like keeping records. I love making forms. I like all of that planning stuff. It's a thing with me. But you know what I found that really helped me more than anything was journaling each day. Just drop it. I mean, I had a list of what the curriculum was we were using. But like if Matthew was doing Saxon and he was doing lesson number 54, all I put is math. Lesson 54. And it was that easy, and I could jot it down. I keep it in my house right to where I can just walk up and I can just write down that throughout the day. Another thing I do is not just that, but I'll also journal. Like, he worked with his dad on the deck, da-da-da. And anything that I can get out of that, I put those things down because sometimes it's hard to realize, it's hard to look back and say, why didn't we get anything written that week? But they were building something, or they were doing some special project, or we were out of town, and we were seeing really neat things. So be sure to journal. I like to journal. And then another thing that I love is notebooking, so that they can actually keep their work all throughout the year. And I talked about that earlier this morning, just getting a notebook and every day adding their work. My mom wrote me the other day, and she said, I'm having a hard time with notebooking because I've got now all these pages I've got to go back and put into notebooks. And I said, eek, lesson number one, this is not about you. This is about your child learning how to do record keeping and learning how to keep his stuff in order. So buying them the sheet protectors and letting them be the one to add it to their notebook. You know what? Just having those things within reach. She had even had her notebooks up on a shelf, and she was wondering why they weren't getting them down and putting their work into it. That's it. Letting everything be accessible to where they can do it themselves. The sooner you train them in this, the better. And it will be so much easier. Because you know what? This is their education. They've got to help you out on it. Another thing is managing and getting it all done without going crazy. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is an important point. That's why I said, we got to keep going. If y'all are really good. Are y'all going to be starving? I said to feed yourself earlier and take good care of yourself, and then I could go to this. But how do you get it all done without going crazy? Well, number one, I don't want for anybody to leave this workshop being more overwhelmed, thinking, you know what, I don't have it all together. I'm messing up here. My house is a pigsty. My children are not notebooking. My children are messy. And I cook really big meals all day long while we're still doing all that language arts. We never get around to history. Now, this is not to get more overwhelmed. Just a bit by bit. Go back over the notes. What is the thing that bothers you in your life right now the very, very, very most? My thing is my living room. If I can get all the clutter out of that living room and put it somewhere else, then I have a place to sit. It's just a thing for me, so I can go at the end of the day. It's just a thing. What is your thing? What would help you today? Can you do that? I love Fly Lady, how she says just to wash your kitchen sink out. Get it clean. to where you look at it, and because isn't there nothing more disgusting than seeing a sink full of dishes, smelling them for days? So go back. Don't get overwhelmed. Look at what bothers you the most and hit that first. Make that a habit and then move to the next thing and do bit by bit by bit. Also, reward yourself as you meet goals and accomplish each bit. One of the things I did, one of our hot spots in our house was my dining table because we homeschool on it. I finally said, I cannot do this anymore. I think you're big. I think y'all can actually put this stuff up so we can eat without spilling stuff on schoolwork. So what I did, I said, okay, we're going to clean this off, put everything up. And I changed some of the organizational things that we had. And whenever I did that, I told them, I said, we're going to go and get some goodies. And I went and got brand new little placemats and little ring holders. It was so cute. Little things at Target. They have the best stuff in the world for making your house cute. And so I went and I got all my stuff, and that was my treat. And I can't tell you what that did for me. Just seeing that kitchen table set. And it didn't have all the paper and the clutter. And I like paper, but I don't want to see it on my dining table. It just stresses me. It's just a little knowing, that I have to deal with. And so find those things and then reward yourself with something sweet when you meet that goal. Then build margin and breathing room into your life. You know, each day there needs to be some time. And this is not just for you, but it is for you. But it's also for your children. You know what? I realized that my children, in about that second year of homeschooling, the reason that they were not just getting into studies is because I was hopping around. Every minute of the day was planned. Do you know what I'm saying? When I finally said, okay, we're going to have a plan. This is the time we're going to do our table time. But you're going to have free time every afternoon. And that, it was mainly because I needed tea time. I didn't care what they did with their free time. I wanted for them to leave me alone. Y'all know what I mean? And let me have a hot tea. Because if not, I was going to have to kill them. I couldn't have homeschooled without my tea time. That's how we got time for Tea Magazine. Hello. That's how we got them on the mom message board. I said, please, let me survive. And you know what? That was the best thing. It wasn't just, it was so funny. It seems selfish. Doesn't that seem selfish? You say, oh my goodness, look at that woman. She is so worldly. You know what? That was when their studies started taking off. Because they were having things they just wanted some time to just dig into. And see, I had been telling them how to do every minute of every day. Something awesome happened. All the other stuff just happened. And now we have a whole story of how our children have done so many neat things that homeschooling can do for us. But you got to build that margin. You got to give yourself that time to relax, de-stress, take care of yourself, give your kids a little bit of time that's not planned by you. So just be kids and study and play. And then get back to the main thing. I've talked about this all weekend, and you'll hear it a bunch still to go, that we're here building a legacy. We're building a legacy for our children. And what we're looking at is it's not just education. It's not just a great school education that will get our children into college. That's not what it's, have you ever thought about that college isn't the end? It's just another step. It's like algebra in the process. It's that thing that you're going through. But it's not the end. It's not all about going to a good college. That is just not the big deal. You know what? There are people that did not go to that good college. They're just wonderful. Hello? It can't be that. It's got to be something bigger. It's got to be a legacy. You know what? That's it. You know what? It's almost like God has tricked you. I just want you to know that. He hasn't struck me dead for saying that yet. Some big things over my head. I think he's saying this to you. It's not just... He has not made a mistake. He has something bigger here than just education. Education may have got your head. There may have been something that triggered you to homeschool, and you may not even be able to totally explain it. You're just doing it, and you say, I know what you're saying here. It's like that burning bush. There's something. But you know what? He's got you because he wants to do something awesome. He wants to get you back to his design. Because you know what our culture needs more than they need anything today? They need to get back to God's design. They cry out for real. And the Christian church today says, go to church, be in a program, do. And what they really want is something that is real, that's life-changing. You can do that. It's right there. It starts at your house. And you know what? It gets attention. Have you noticed that people have to look? That light's shining. Fill that oil back up. Keep it to overflowing. This is just one of those things. Organizing. Just a thing that will help you to be able to be all you can be. So y'all ready? Y'all are the diligent. All the others skipped out. We should have had some crowns to give out to y'all. Or chocolate. Well, y'all go for a great dinner, and I will look forward to joining you guys again in the morning. I'm going to go to my booth. I haven't done that all day. Y'all have a great night.